This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Jennifer Graham, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. With 8 weeks of the high school football regular season in the books, just one to go, and a week from today, we will have the Road to DeKalb, the playoff pairings preview show next Saturday night, live at 8 o'clock here on WSMI FM 106.1. But, it's a busy day, busy week for the IHSA as a whole. You've got soccer regional championships today. Hillsborough and Newton going to play in Altamont this afternoon at 3 o'clock. This game was supposed to be played yesterday, but obviously with all the rain, plans changed. So Hillsborough and Newton, 3 o'clock today. At Terry Tote Field in Raymond this morning at 11 o'clock, it will be Lincolnwood and Carthenville playing for that regional championship. Of course, those two just squared off, about 10 days ago in Carthenville. That was a game we had a lot of fun carrying on WSMI FM 106.1. Won by Carthenville that night, and they will have the rematch today with the 1A regional championship on the line. So that is what is happening in terms of boys soccer. Riverton is also going to play for a regional championship today, and Williamsville will play for a regional championship in Class 1A. In 2A boys soccer today, regional quarterfinal, it will be Litchfield and Effingham. That match will begin at 11 o'clock this morning. So last night, of course, week 8 of the high school football season, and it was a big one, right? And Hillsborough still alive for postseason play. I'll be honest, I hadn't really been paying that close of attention to how things were going to work with the playoffs this year, but 4 and 5 teams are going to have a chance here at the postseason with the way things are going to work out for a variety of different reasons. So Hillsborough still alive in the postseason race. And of course, we'll be talking to Joe Reed coming up in just a few minutes here on Sports Saturday. We're happy to kick it off as always with Carthenville head coach Chad Easterday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim. How are you guys this morning?
Hey, doing good. Chad, I don't think I've ever started by asking you about the coin toss, but that had to be a special moment last night for you personally with Hutch out there.
Yeah, he'd had a rough go there the last couple weeks. And, over the years, Hutch and I, if we were just joking about it before the game, have become close. I think our coaching, I don't know, what do you want to call it, our niche of the South Central, like we talked about last week, we're all great guys and we all communicate, and we'd all love to kick each other's rear ends on Friday night, but are the first guys to call each other on Sunday or send a text about a congratulations or what in the off season are we doing and can get together. So, it was great to see him out on the field and moving around and doing better. And, especially with him, we had kind of a connection with our sons over the years. So it's been kind of a neat atmosphere over there the last couple of years.
Well, and you both took over your programs at the same time, so you were there for their dominant run. He was there for your dominant run. It really is just a neat dynamic. And, Chad, I hate to say, but I think Greenville has beaten you more than any other school.
Tim, I wouldn't even know the answer
I know
to that question. But, yeah, I think you're correct. They had a run there when Coach Steiner and I first started. I think they had 7 or 8 straight ones for us, and then we finally got one over there. Might have been Job's sophomore year or something over there. We had gotten to their number a little bit. And then it's been pretty back and forth since then. But I do think in the overall scheme, they got a few more in the wrong column than I do. It was great to see him up and moving. So,
Jet, last night's game, you guys started fast, and that first half, offense, defense, special teams, they all had huge plays to build that lead.
Yeah, that's kind of been our MO lately, was getting out of the gate pretty early and that stuff. And, obviously the weather played a little bit of factor in how things were going to roll. And we tried to get fresh balls and throw one on first down and making sure that we were able to move personnel around and that sort of stuff. So, I know Greenville had been suffering through some injuries and we weren't sure who was back and who wasn't back. So, we wanted definitely to get out of the gate, like you said, early and make sure that we were in a situation where we could possibly run the clock out if it happened to be raining or something like that. So, it's not always 50-0 or 60-0 or 20-14. With those types of things, all depend on the weather and personnel and all that good stuff. So,
John, I've done a number of football games over the years. I don't think I've ever been in a situation where, 10 minutes before kickoff, the opposing team or one of the teams, they don't know who their quarterback's going to be. Have you ever been in a spot where you're standing there going, I have no idea who the starting quarterback's going to be, and they're about to kick the game off?
No, I tell you what, Hutch and I jokingly kind of, you know, before games hackle each other, and he told me that, and I really thought he was blowing smoke at me, to be honest with you, because, you know, he would do that to me, I can tell you that. So, you know, as I was walking with Coach Steiner back to the field, and you know, that's a tough situation over there, like I said, with some injuries and stuff like that. So, having been through that in my career a few times, it's a tough situation. And, you know, I tell you what, their kids played hard, and that's something that's hard to do when, you know, certain uncertainties have to happen. And, you know, it was a great football game last night. Great atmosphere. It always is over there. So,
Jed, Mason Duckles, what a fabulous game this kid had last night. Couple touchdown passes, good on the extra points, kicked the field goal. But he might have boomed one of the best punts I've ever seen a high school kid get off. And I really thought that that kind of changed the entire momentum of the game.
Well, I tell you what, I would agree with that statement, but his catch on the first touchdown was, I mean, out of the blue, really good. And then he hit that punt, and I would agree with you that it changed the pace of the game and that sort of thing. So.
And that thing, it just had a different sound when it came off his foot. I heard it up in the press box. I thought, that was struck solid.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't see it actually come off his foot. I just heard in my headset, holy crap, is what I heard. And I happened to look up, and I mean, it looked like an NFL punt. It came out of there. It was spiraling nice, and he's been working on it, and he takes a lot of pride in that. And it spiraled down there, and it got the hop that we wanted. So, obviously, then that changed the field position quite a bit because we had not tackled well on the other consuming kickoff. So, you know, that was definitely a factor in that.
And I thank you for cleaning that up radio style. Holy crap. I appreciate that very much. And he kicked it about 10 yards over the head of the returner. So obviously he boomed that more than Greenville even thought he was going to.
Yeah. You know, maybe that's what makes him so good, because I tell you what, he is about 65% to 70% of those. Hmm. And then the other 25, he'll be the first kid to tell you, Coach, that was awful. I mean, that was just terrible to come off a foot. I mean, it may only go 20 yards. So, I mean, it's kind of a weapon that we don't even know happens sometimes. So it's kind of nice when it works out good for him.
But, you know, Chad, as we get now into the big game with Hena and then moving into the postseason, all of a sudden the punting becomes a lot more important.
That's exactly what we said last night. And as you've heard me, I'm never happy until November type atmosphere. And punting, special teams, you know, we gave up, I think, 85 yards on kickoff return last night. And that can't happen twice in week 10, week 9, when you play good teams. You can't give up those extra first downs that you may need to get an adjustment in the game. And, you know, when your kids start to understand that, that's when you get good at football and good at coaching. And they make me look a lot better when they start understanding those concepts that are there. We had a couple missed tackles. So, you know, one kid on a bus ride home last night goes, Coach, you were mad, and we were up. I said, yeah, because we didn't tackle. I said, you know, those are those little things like that change the games and stuff that you and I have observed over the years, that, you know, those little details that make the difference when you're talking week 10, week 11 potentially. So,
Chad, finally, Carson Weiser, he is on the precipice here of going into the Carlinville record books. And if you get into the record books at Carlinville for anything, that is a heck of an accomplishment. But he's tracking Kyle Dixon here, apparently, for single-season touchdowns and single-season receptions. I don't want to say did you see it coming, but has the production surprised maybe even you with the high numbers?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you that I didn't see it coming. You know, I knew that we had a great group of skill set guys, and as we talked before with Gibson City and through this process of peaking at the right time, you know, people have risen up and we've changed game plans and that sort of stuff. So, you know, Carson's just been phenomenal to coach and work with, and his ability to understand the game and coverages and adjustments. And, you know, we throw a lot at people and we throw a lot at kids. So, I mean, we got hand signals and we got all this stuff. We move him around. He's on the single receiver side. He could be in a backfield sometimes. So, you know, to understand all of that and then get the job done as well makes you a great athlete and well-deserving of those stats. So, to be honest with you, I didn't even know that he was that close, to be honest with you. Tim, I hate to say that like that, but, you know, I don't, you know,
But so, yeah, that's why your program is what it is, because you're not focused on those things. You've got your eye on the prize. You always have, and that is the way to get it done. But I'll just say this about the record. I think there should be an asterisk put next to Kyle Dixon in that record, and it states that he really did that in 4.5 games, because that team didn't play a lot of second halves.
Well, I'm kind of prejudiced there because obviously there was someone at quarterback there that has the same last name as me. So, they were a very unique skill set of kids that you get. And I was very fortunate in my life, in my coaching career, to have coached three teams, one as an assistant and two as a head coach, that were able to, do those types of things. Now, I will tell you that, you already know this statement I'm going to say, those things, those foundations that those kids set, are what these kids are setting for the next 4 or 5 years. So in order to get those records and to understand that, then you've got to have a high football IQ. You got to do the work in the off seasons. You got to do those types of things. So, that's what I love about Cardinville tradition and the community and those types of things that back those types of things and understand, Carson 2 weeks ago had what one or two catches for maybe 65, 70 yards. Never said a word. Showed up at practice following day. Next thing you know, he's got 8, 9 catches. Mason Dunkel is a great example last night. They left him single coverage, and Taberzi's been doing a great job of seeing the field and getting those balls there. So I just love our team unity and team approach to the game. So I've been very fortunate over my years to coach kids that are that way.
So. Chad, final question. Keys for next week against Pena. What a game.
Yeah, I was waiting for your hard question this week. I won't lie to you, Tim, so I won't bother you with the show anymore. But, I avoided you last week with the question, so I won't lie to you. You got to get this quarterback on the ground. It's sort of like Steve Kimbrough's approach to basketball. If he can have his 150, 200 yards as long as he doesn't get 21 points. So I don't think that you stop him. I think you contain him. Those types of things, having had a high explosive team in the past, you have to minimize those types of opportunities and then be solid in the three phases of the game. And so far we've been able to do that. Now, if we can replicate that, that'll be great. So I'm hoping for I think we're the underdog. I can tell you that right now.
That doesn't happen very often, but I agree.
I told our kids when we got done, enjoy it as always, and I said, I'll see you Monday morning bright and early, and we'll be ready to roll. So I think those are the keys to the game because, we can't allow them to pop us three times for 14 to 21 points and expect to have a chance in the fourth quarter. So, they start fast, we start fast. So, it's one of these games, Tim, I don't know if you guys are covering it or not.
Oh, yeah, we're there.
It could be 7-0. Or it could be 55-48. Right. That'll keep me up all week long. I won't lie to you. It'll be one of them games. I don't know, but potentially we could get blown out. We could blow them out. But I'm just saying, those are the things that bother coaches. It could be 7-0 and we just struggling. Or it could be some shootout and Coach Steiner will be flames coming out of his head because we can't stop anybody. So, those things have happened to us in the past. So, and they have a great staff, and they'll be very well prepared. It should be a fun atmosphere. We'll have a great, cool night, it looks like, for the weather. And it's what Week 9 should look like in high school football.
Oh, that's exactly right. I'm rooting for 55-48, Chad. That's what I'm rooting for. But we're going to have a lot of fun next week. Conference championship on the line, Pena and Carlinville. Chad, thank you, as always, for a few moments of your time, sir.
Yep, appreciate it. Guys, have a great day.
All right, that's Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And you have the South Central Conference Championship at stake next week. Pena at Carlinville, Pizza Man pregame show at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock on WUSMI FM 106.1 and streaming online at WUSMIRadio.com. We're going to be talking with Pena head coach Trevor Higgins later on in the program here on Sports Saturday. We'll also talk with North MAC coach Pat Bowman and Nokomis coach Paul Watson. On the other side of the break, we will catch up with Hilltopper head coach Joe Reed. Hillsboro still alive, riding a 3-game win streak. We'll talk with Coach Reed following these messages on Sports Saturday.
921 right here on FM 106 WSMI. Thank you to some of the sponsors for Sports Saturday, include Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Stern, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. And Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, Jen. Fighting Illini off today. They will be playing Penn State next week. Yikes. 10 o'clock with the pregame next Saturday for Fighting Illini football on 105.3 The Ox. We'll have the Brett Bielema show back for you Wednesday night at 7 on WAOX 105.3. The Ox. Let's run down some scores for you. Last night in the Sangamo Conference, North Mac beat Pleasant Plains 66-7. Riverton over Auburn 20-14. Williamsville beat New Berlin 55-25. And Athens goes up to Marrora and knocks off Marrora Forsyth 28-21. A fantastic win for Athens last night. In the WIBC, it was North versus South. Greenfield Northwestern beat Brown County 37-0. West Central over Jacksonville Route 27-6. And Beardstown topped Calhoun 42-22. In the South Central last night, games heard on WSMI, Carthenville over Greenville 37-7. Gillespie upended Staunton 24-21. It was Vandalia over Litchfield 49-6. In the Mud Bowl last night, Pena knocked off Nokomis by the final of 17-0. And I saw some videos from our buddy Kyle Hirschelman. I assume it was after the game. Field, obviously, just a muddy mess, and the Nokomis kids were out covered in mud, of course, just sliding like it was a slip and slide across the field, having a good time. So the conditions were a little loose last night in Nokomis. And for Hillsboro now, a three-game win streak. They beat Southwestern last night 41-14. Their head coach, Joe Reed, joins us now. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Tim. How are we doing?
Hey, doing fantastic. And I'm going to be honest here. Until last night, I had not really been paying attention to the details of the postseason. But apparently 4-5 teams here are going to have a shot. When did that come to your attention?
It is a strange year, that's for sure. We kind of, you know, the last couple of weeks, I mean, we've obviously been hearing a little bit of that noise, but to be honest with you, as cliche as it sounds, you know, we're just kind of worried about each week. Yep. And, you know, and just kind of taking care of our business. And, you know, it's crazy. And, you know, I feel like we're playing well, and I feel like we're a dangerous team right now. But hopefully the football gods will smile on us, and that'll become a reality. But like I said, none of that stuff can happen unless we win this week. So, you know, we're focused on Litchfield, and the rivalry game will be my first introduction to this rivalry, so that's kind of where our focus is. But yeah, it's definitely something that is interesting. So.
Well, and I would imagine that your kids, you get a little extra pep in your step just when you realize, wait a minute here, we've got a chance.
Oh, absolutely. And the kids are, you know, with the way social media and things are these days, the kids are aware.
Right.
So you know, definitely gave us something to give you something else to play for, and you know, I think that's exciting for our kids and for our town. So, it's exciting.
This has been quite the roller coaster season. You start the year, of course, with a brutal schedule, 5 straight losses, but now riding the 3-game win streak. And last night on the road, that's a tough place to go. It's a long trek. And Southwestern had to have that game. So just talk about your club last night and that performance. Very impressive.
Yeah, you know, our mindset was, our kids' mindset was to kind of avenge their spring game over there, and you know, so that was kind of their mindset going in. And you know, our mindset really the last few weeks has just been to get better, and you know, I feel like. Like I said, I feel like we're a dangerous team, and we're starting to kind of put things together. So it's just a matter of going over there and getting a win. And, you know, again, everything's so new to me, and I'm not sure what to expect. But, yeah, that's a tough football team, a well-coached football team. And they did some good things last night to make us make adjustments. But, like I said, I feel like our kids are at that level right now where they're able to make adjustments on the fly and kind of put things together just a little bit. A little bit late. We like to have a few games back, but that you know, that's the nature of football. So,
well, you know, you can't control the order of the schedule, right? And
right.
Greenville's been decimated by injuries here. You know, if you get to play Greenville at a later stage, maybe things are different than playing them in the opening week. But I mean, that's just the way it goes. You can't even think about things like that.
Yeah, I think that's just the way it goes. And you know, being a new coach and installing new things, like I knew obviously that we were going to be better at the end of the year, but, you know, again, those are things that you can't control, but, you know, I'm sure they'd love to be healthy too. So, you know,
right.
It's kind of a, you know, double-edged sword there, I guess, or chicken and the egg, I guess.
Right, yeah, so. That's exactly right. And, Joe, when I think about your club, I just think about the physicality and winning the point of attack at the line of scrimmage. If any team does that, you're going to have success. But with your style, when you're controlling the line of scrimmage, like you said, you are a tough, tough out.
Yeah, I think that's one of our strengths, with our up front and just with what we do. I think it really kind of fits into the Hillsborough mantra and as far as being kind of a blue-collar town and, you know, a town that prides itself on working hard. I'm just glad to be here and be a part of it. And, you know, like I said, I think that's something that our kids really embrace. And, you know, if we can win the battle up front, I feel good about getting our backs in the space.
Talk to me about, we know about the improvement, obviously, in the wins and the losses, but where have you seen maybe the incremental improvement from the kids themselves? Okay, they're better at that in week 8 than they were in week 3.
Yeah, I mean, the technique has, you know, obviously improved. I think that's a normal thing for almost all teams, you know, and, you know, getting better as the season goes. But I think that, you know, the biggest advantage our kids have now is that understanding of what we're trying to accomplish, both on offense and defense. And we've been spending a lot of time on little things, and now the little things are becoming kind of second nature. And you know, that's the biggest improvement I think I've seen is just knowing what we're trying to accomplish and not having to, you know, getting lined up was a huge issue early on. Even just line up in the correct formation, and those things are becoming second nature, and it's allowing the kids to play a little more loose and make plays. So that's been a big thing, I think, is just kind of the knowledge base.
And 3-5, obviously, the rivalry game coming up with Litchfield, and you said it's your first taste of the rivalry. It's different because it's not a nasty one, but it's a big one.
Yeah, the kids all know each other. You know, the districts are, you know, next door neighbors, so it's in the same county. So it's definitely, rivalries are something I've been a part of, but this will be a first for me as far as the Hillsborough Litchfield. So it's exciting. You know, we've had some kids that have gotten to Litchfield and are now here, so there's a little bit riding on it with the kids, but you know, I'm excited to be a part of it, and we got a military night Friday, and it should be an exciting night for us.
Joe, we used to have a great old fellow that worked here. We called him Uncle Ralph. He was from Butler, Hillsborough guy, but he used to talk about back when he grew up, they'd be sneaking to Litchfield under the cover of the darkness to steal all the girls.
That sounds about right.
That does sound about right. A little bit different now, as you mentioned, with the social media. But it's going to be a lot of fun, a great atmosphere. And, Joe, who would have thunk when we were talking when you were 0-5 after that brutal loss to Paris that we'd be in Week 9 with the playoffs still a possibility? Awesome.
Awesome feeling. Definitely exciting. But, like I said, none of that happens unless we take care of business on Friday. So, like I said, we're focused on that. And, you know, hopefully the football gods are smiling on us. So,
Joe Reed, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tim.
That is Joe Reed with the Hillsborough Hilltoppers. And, you know, that is going to be a really different feel a week from tonight. You know, we'll have the Road to DeKalb, the playoff preview show live at 8 o'clock next Saturday night. But we've seen 4-5 teams in the playoffs before. Like the South Central Conference used to be split in East and West. And I know Chad Easterday's first year, they won their side of the conference at 4-5 and got into the postseason. But we're going to see more 4-5 teams, I guess, in the playoffs this year than we've ever seen before. And maybe, just maybe, Hillsborough will be one of them. Southwestern, they're sitting at 4-4 now after that loss last night. They will be on the road next week at Gillespie for the Piesaw Birds as they will be looking for their fifth win. North Mac got their fifth win last night, so they will be closing out the regular season on the road at Athens, as Athens had that huge win over Marrora Forsyth last night to move to 7-1 on the year. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more in just a moment.
9:32 once again right here on WSMI FM 106 Sports Saturday, brought to you this morning by Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsborough, Raymond in Farmersville, and Prairie Town. feed service. Once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize.
Jennifer Graham, thank you so much. The Paina Panthers have had a special season here. They are 8-0. Big showdown with Carthenville coming next week. We'll have it live on WSMI FM 106.1. And Paina head coach Trevor Higgins joins us this morning on Sports Saturday. And coach, thank you for some time. I understand you're not feeling the best, so we'll try to make this quick.
Oh, it's no problem. I've just been coughing a lot and, of course, yelling a lot. So my voice is a little gone.
The voice of a football coach, when you get to this stage, it can get a little spotty, can't it?
Yes, it can. Yes, it can.
Conditions like last night, I'm sure, didn't help you. That was the definition of a mud bowl. Probably a kid's dream to play in that. But just talk about how when you're in conditions like that, it just changes the entire complexity of what you thought you might do.
Yeah, it's really hard as an offensive coordinator to be able to call any type of play whenever you're in mud. So luckily our defense played really well, and those kids love to play in that kind of condition, played really well. And then our special teams actually changed some field positions for us. Bo Kreister was able to get a 17-yard field goal for us. So those type of things coming together, whenever your offense can't move the ball, it's really helpful to have that defense and special teams to be able to step up like that.
And Trevor, you guys have had a dominating year. That was the closest game you've had last night, but that's what you want at the end of the year, a team like Nokomis last night, a team like Carthenville next week.
Yeah, you've got to have some tough teams get you ready for playoffs. For our guys to be able to play, you know, four quarters, that's really important for them to get, you know, in full game shape, because, you know, as playoffs go, you know, the longer the kids stay in, and those running clocks and stuff, I think fans like it because stress level goes down. But
right,
as a coach, you don't really like those too much because, you know, your kids come out and then they're sitting for the rest of the game. So we love, you know, Nokomis came out last night and just very hard-hitting team and, yeah, played really well in the mud. And then Carthenville, obviously, they're rolling right now. So, luckily, this Friday, we don't care what the weather is because now we're playing on turf.
That's right. Trevor, everybody that I've talked to about Paina this year has said the same thing. Speed, speed, speed. And obviously, last night in the mud, speed is negated. But just talk about the speed that you do have, because you don't have one or two guys. I've been told you've got seven or eight guys with elite speed.
Yeah, we're very deep in the speed aspect this year. This is probably the fastest team that I've had. You know, you're looking at guys like Schoonover and Ace Armstrong and Henshin, and then the quarterback Max Lynch, and then really defensive wise too, we probably got two of the fastest defensive ends with Drew Hackler and Isaac Marty. Our linebackers are fast with Evan Swisher and Kyle Kuhn. So we love just to fly around football. Carter Byers is a fast defensive back. So we have him, Henshin, and Schoonover as our defensive back. So our pass defense, fast. So, yeah, just kind of really all over the field. And the other thing, too, is this team loves to be physical and loves to lay big hits. So not only are we fast, but we're also physical. So anytime you can have a fast and physical team, and have athletes like that, man, it makes the coaching staff look really good.
Oh, yeah.
That's what these guys do. We just call plays, and then they make them. So I love this group.
And this is a group now. They've won a lot of football games. There's not a lot that they haven't encountered over their careers.
Yeah, I mean they've been in some big time football games. You know, now with last night, we were in a weather type event, you know, that kind of football game. So you never know what weather's going to be like in playoff. So to be able to play a game like that in the mud also helps us with that. But, yeah, we've seen multiple teams and multiple offenses, multiple defenses, so everything to prepare us for hopefully a deep playoff run.
And that's so critical, isn't it, seeing different styles, because it's all about the draw when you get to the postseason. You know, styles make fights, and if you get a bad draw, there's nothing you can do about it. But when you see multiple looks throughout the year, you're going to be ready.
Yeah, and most I think since I've started, most of the time when we get kicked out, it's a power run wing T, double wing teams, and we rarely see that. Well, this year, Hillsboro, Athens coach, defensive coordinator, came over to take over Hillsboro, and they ran a double wing. Gillespie ran a double wing, and we saw Nokomis last night with a double wing. So just those, again, those looks for us is very helpful, I think, going moving forward.
Trevor, you will not see the double wing next week.
No, we will not. No, we will not. We will see an identical offense like ours.
Well, and we had Chad Easterday on earlier, and he said this game could be 7-0 or 55-48. He has no idea.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, we haven't had a lot of time to watch film on them yet, but just watching the kind of scores of their game and being identical to ours, it seems like they're going to match up well in every spot. So, yeah, in those type of situations, it's more of a coaching chess match, you know, trying to figure out what the other coach is doing and try to exploit any weaknesses that you see. And so, yeah, I mean, with athletes all over the field, you never know. I'm leaning more towards the high scoring end because really not a lot of people have been able to stop our offense. With Max Lynch back there at quarterback as a running dual threat quarterback, it's really hard to stop. But we found out last night that his kryptonite is mud. So, you know, other than that, we've been rolling. So I foresee a high scoring game kind of back and forth. But hopefully, like I said, our kids will prepare as much as we can this week and end up, you know, because we want to be 9-0, if I'm honest with you. You know, I haven't been 9-0 yet this year, in my career. We've always shared the conference championship. And so, you know, we made that a goal at the beginning of the year. And, yeah, we're going to do everything we can this week to make that happen.
It's going to be a big-time game. And really, to me, the Carlinville Pena football game has been the biggest game in the South Central for 5 years, maybe longer. This has been elite football for a lot of years in a row now.
Yeah, that just speaks to both programs, I think. They're coached very well. They've got a great coaching staff over there. And I think, you know, our coaching staff is pretty top-notch as well. So when you can run a good program, good solid program that kids buy into, you do really well. And so that's the teams that turn out good teams after good teams year after year. And that's why it's always such a big game, is because, you know, I feel like these coaching staffs both do very well in building a program, a successful program, and the things that they do. So much respect over there to the Carlinville staff, and I know it's, you know, the same to us. And so we're just looking forward to a big game.
And I would tell the fans, get there early, because if you're 5 minutes late, you might miss something.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've had a couple people that showed up at kickoff, and by the time they got the kids out of the car, they missed a couple touchdowns. So, you know, I mean, that's just how fast things can go. So get there early. Hopefully, I'm sure there's a tailgate. Tim Tartar says they got the best pork chops around.
That's what he says.
You know, I may have to get there early just to get some pork chops.
Hey, I'm with you right there. Trevor, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and looking forward to next Friday night.
Yep, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Trevor Higgins, the head coach of the Pena Panthers, and you can't script it any better, can you? Week 9, 8-0 Pena, 7-1 Carlinville. And you heard Trevor say it. They want 9-0. It's a big deal to go 9-0, and Trevor Higgins wants that 9-0 record, and they will give it a go next week at Carlinville. Pizza Man pregame show at 6:30, kickoff at 7 live on WQSMI FM 106.1. We're going to take a quick break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we are going to catch up with North Mac head coach Patrick Bowman. We will do that when Sports Saturday continues.
9:42 right here on FM 106 WSMI. Thank you to the following sponsors. Without you, we wouldn't have Sports Saturday for you. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, and Woods Basement Systems. And once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Last night, North Mac picked up win number 5, beating Pleasant Plains 66-7, so they head into the last week of the year with a 5-3 mark. They'll be on the road at 7-1 Athens next week, and their head coach, Patrick Bowman, joins us on Sports Saturday. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
Well, normally, you know, you get to 5, and it's like, okay, were playoff eligible, but apparently this year, 4-5 is going to be good enough to make the playoffs. And Pat, you've been doing this a long time. It's just, it's hard to wrap your mind, or at least hard to wrap my mind around, I should say, that there's going to be multiple 4-5 teams in.
It is. It's been a crazy year for sure. So, something different really isn't a surprise if you think of it that way, but, we're excited we got the five and we're, going to at least get some extra football this year.
And just talk, I mean, you knew obviously sitting at 4-3 the situation, but you want to get 5-4 or 6-3, obviously that's where you want to be.
Definitely. Obviously the more wins you can get, the better. And, we had the little COVID issues on the season that kind of got us off to a little slow start there, but, able to get five wins now. We're pretty excited. We definitely did a tough one coming up next week to try to get that number six win.
You talked about the rough start to the year because of the COVID, but these last few weeks, I guess, probably getting more of a normal routine perhaps for the squad this year?
Yeah, much more normal. Feels like football season finally. So, we've got every single player back and healthy and definitely getting better each week for sure.
Talk to me about last night. I mean, that's just scoreboard-wise domination.
It was senior night. We've got a lot of these guys that are four-year players here at North Mac, and what an exciting way for their last home game to come out and just dominate the opponent and get themselves a playoff. So pretty exciting night for sure.
Senior night is always a different feel. It's not like homecoming where you worry about the focus. On senior night, you probably almost worry about, are they going to be too amped up?
Yeah, definitely for sure. They wanted to get that win, but our guys the last few weeks have been totally focused. And the Williamsville game, we learned a lot from. Hey, let's focus on one play at a time, one game at a time. And they realized that after that game and definitely have put that in place for sure.
And I guess the way that it works out now, Pat, next week is your Sangamo Conference swan song.
It is. It's the last one in the Sangamo. So it's something we really haven't thought about because that changed the year away. But if you look at it that way, yeah, it could be. This could be the last Sangamo game and possibly the last Sangamo opponent for a while. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what the playoff draw
exactly
will wind up being. But, Pat, as we look at your team this year, we talked about the COVID issues, but who have been some of the kids that have stepped up? Because it takes leadership from a player perspective to guide a team through something like this.
It does, and if I went through a list, we'd be on here for a long time. But our seniors this year have really stepped up, taking a leadership role, the junior class. Same thing. We've got a lot of juniors on the squad. So between those both classes, the seniors and the juniors, I couldn't be more proud of all the leadership. They're awesome teammates. They all get along well, and we come out of practice. So it definitely means a lot for our program and our type of kids we have here.
Well, you know, we always talk about high school sports, you know, life lessons and all that. You guys have had more life lessons. You've had enough life lessons for a lifetime this year.
Yes, they've had plenty of life lessons, and like you mentioned earlier, we're glad to see some normal and a chance to be a kid again and just have fun and not worry about outside factors that they can't control.
Sounds good. Patrick Bowman, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck at Athens next week.
Thanks so much. We'll see you later.
All right, that's Patrick Bowman, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, as they will enter week 9 at 5-3, and they will be playoff bound. We need to get to one more break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Nokomis head coach Paul Watson when Sports Saturday rolls on.
9:48 right here on FM 106. We rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize for some more Sports Saturday.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. And again, no Fighting Illini football today. And we will have the Brett Bielema show Wednesday night at 7 on the Ox. And then a week from today, Illinois will be playing Penn State. We'll have that at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning on 105.3 The Ox. Also, a week from tonight, the Road to DeKalb, the playoff pairings preview show. We will have that live at 8 o'clock next Saturday evening here on WSMI FM 106.1. Well, last night, Pena and Nokomis, they played in the mud. And there were some videos after the game of the Nokomis kids having some fun playing in the mud, doing what high school kids should do when they get to play a football game in the mud. Treat it like a slip and slide when it's all said and done. But certainly a rough night for the field at Nokomis as Pena beat Nokomis 17-0, but that's the closest game that Pena has had all year. And you think about the two losses for Nokomis now, Central A&M, who was ranked number one in the state at the time, and Pena, who is 8-0 and looking for a perfect season next week on the road at Carthenville. On the phone right now is Nokomis head coach Paul Watson. And, Paul, have you gotten yourself dried out yet?
Yeah, it took a while, but, yeah, I think my clothes are still soaked, but I'm dry.
I saw some videos, I assume it was after the game, of your kids sliding around in the mud and having fun. Just talk about what it's like to play a game in those conditions.
It's miserable.
Yeah.
You know, we played one in 2019 against, Colfax. That was actually worse than last night. So we've been there. I hate doing it, but, we were actually looking at the weather and was kind of like, all right, let it rain a little bit. That'll slow down Pena because they're extremely fast, but, we wasn't expecting that much rain.
That's a home field advantage though, right? I mean, you ordered it up. Maybe you just ordered a little bit too much.
Exactly right. Exactly right. It hurt us more than it hurt them.
And I mean, when you get in a game like that, Paul, whatever game plan you might have had, say on Wednesday, probably went out the window.
We were looking at that, and we were just going to run the ball straight at them. We worked our eye offense quite a bit. Looking at the weather and saying, hey, it's going to be wet. We're not really going to be able to do our jet series and do it effectively. So, we ended up just kind of do some smash-mouth football. And, we had success on it. We had a couple chances there to punch it in the second quarter there. I think we was down 10-0, and, we're on the three-yard line. I think it was first to go on the three or second go on the three. And just a simple power and fumbled the ball there and turned the ball over. And then had them go three and out, and then we got the punt, and then we got another drive going, and then got inside the 20 again, and then another fumble that they recovered. So, they took advantage of our turnovers, and we wasn't able to take advantage of theirs.
Well, coaches never like turnovers, but I would suspect fumbles in those conditions, understandable to say the least.
Oh, yeah, it's expected. It's just, when they happen, you just got to take advantage, capitalize on it, and we just weren't able to do it.
The season as a whole here, Paul, I mean, what a fantastic ride for Nokomis and a chance to finish out strong next week. And we know in terms of playoffs, there's a big difference between 6-3 and 7-2.
Oh, absolutely. And, I'm sitting here watching film now on Dupo, and, they had the whole COVID bug there the last couple of weeks. They didn't get a chance to play. So, last night they went down to Sparta and got a win. So, they're fresh, I guess you can say, and ready to go. I talked to their coach this morning, and they are ready to play Friday night. So we'll go down there, and hopefully it's not a monsoon, and we'll be able to run our game and do our thing.
Well, that'll be a little bit of a trek, too. That'll almost feel like a playoff trip.
Oh, yeah, and we're used to that this year. Heck, we've been all over the state, it seems like.
Yeah, you could have had, like, a nice little program put together, like just covering you guys' trek around the state, because you've had some trips, and when you get into week 10, who knows where you might wind up.
Absolutely. We're still holding out for that home playoff game. Mm-hmm. We'll hopefully go in at 7-2, and it just depends on looking at, I have no idea, but coaches always like to look at that and see what might happen. And we get a couple teams that end up 6-3 that some people are saying they'll go 7-2, then we might end up getting a first round home game at 7-2.
I think, Paul, this season, nothing about your squad has surprised you. I mean, you guys were expected to be good, and you have been good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the one thing that, we're pleased with all the aspects, but, defense is coming up and hitting really hard and flying to the ball. Offense, we're able to run the ball. We just got to get a little bit more of a passing game to kind of help with our run game. But, yeah, overall, I'm really pleased.
Well, we talked to Trevor Higgins earlier in the show, and he mentioned the hitting of you guys. And when you have a team from the South Central Conference talking about how hard you hit, that is a wonderful compliment.
Yeah, it is, you know, and they got a great staff over there, you know, Coach Higgins and Coach Life, them guys do an outstanding job, coaching them up. And, you know, anytime we get compliment like that, you know, it's really good. You know, that's something that we pride about. We always talk, you know, hey, you know, win or lose, you know, whoever we're playing, they're going to know that, you know, they played the right kids because we're going to cup it up and we're going to hit you hard.
And, you know, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but as I look forward to the playoffs, you guys are you're a nasty matchup. You know, you're going to play somebody in that first round that hasn't played you, and you're going to show up like it's 1952 and just pound them in the mouth.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what we like to do. And you know, like I said a week or two ago, you know, a lot of teams don't do that. They go all spread and throw the ball around, and it's hard to duplicate that in practice. And, you know, when you go up against a wing T team that likes to run the ball and you know, is fine with running that clock down to, you know, 5 seconds before you snap the ball and just eating, you know, 2-3 yards at a pop, use all four downs, it's different.
Well, and it makes the opponent nervous, too. All of a sudden, they maybe get a little quicker and hurry up, thinking, we're not going to see the ball a lot tonight.
Oh, yeah. You know, we had a couple drives last night where, you know, we put together there, especially second quarter. You know, we had about a 5-minute drive there and, you know, kind of got the flow going. And then, boom, you know, we turn the ball over and they jump on it. So.
But we know one thing. When the conditions are right, you guys hold on to the football, because I remember that Gillespie game a couple weeks ago. Jake Johnson, he was running through the hole with both hands on the football.
Oh, he was doing that again last night, too. You know, and saying, I'm like, just take a step left or right and go around the guy. But no, he's got two hands on the ball, and he's going over top of them.
He doesn't go around guys. He can, but he likes to go through them. He prefers to go through.
Oh, yeah. I told him, I said, you don't have to go through everybody. You know, you go around them every now and then.
Hey, every once in a while, it's okay. And his response was, I think I like what I'm doing.
Yep, he likes that contact.
Ball, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you. Take care.
That is Ball Watson, the head coach of Nokomis. They will be on the road at Dupo next week, trying to close out a 7-2 regular season. And again, the road to the Cowb, the playoff preview show will come your way next Saturday night, live at 8 o'clock, right here on WSMI FM 106.1. Obviously, next Friday night, Pena at Carlinville for the South Central Conference Championship, a win for Pena. It's an outright conference championship at 9-0, a win for Carlinville, and the Cavies and Pena will split the conference crown here in 2021. Pizza Man pregame show will come your way at 6:30. We'll have live coverage of the kickoff at 7 o'clock from Carlinville on WSMI FM 106.1 and online at WSMIRadio.com. Our second broadcast feature next week will be Litchfield at Hillsboro. That broadcast at 9:30 on FM 106.1 as Hillsboro will be looking for their fourth win in a row and give themselves a chance at making the postseason. And that really is kind of the big story, right, leading in to the final week of the season is, if you've got 5 losses now, you're still in it. You still have a chance. So it's going to be a playoff preview like we've never seen before, and we will have it for you next Saturday night, 8 o'clock, on WSMI FM 106.1. Regional championship soccer today. Hillsboro will be facing Newton. That match will begin at 3 o'clock in Altamont. This is a game that was postponed yesterday. So the Toppers will play Newton this afternoon at 3 for that 1A soccer regional championship. At Terry Tote Field in Raymond this morning, just about 1 hour from now, it'll be Carlinville and Lincolnwood for that 1A soccer regional championship. The sectional, by the way, will move over to the turf at Carlinville. In a 2A regional quarterfinal today, Litchfield will face Effingham. That will start at 11 o'clock. Couple of football notes here. Sangamo Conference this morning. Pittsfield is at Porta. Now, this is a game that was supposed to be played last night. Officiating issues, so they moved the game to today. And I'll say it again. We need officials across the board, every sport. We got to have them. We have seen more and more games this year either canceled, moved, shifted because there are no officials. We need you right now. More than ever, you are needed when it comes to officiating, because we will get to a point, and this point is coming a lot faster than maybe we want to think that it is, where we won't be able to play because there aren't enough officials. It's going to happen. If nothing changes, that will happen. It sounds ludicrous and silly, but if nothing changes, if the situation and the circumstances stay the same, in 5 years, we are going to have an even bigger problem than you think we have right now. And it's not a good situation right now. We are out of time here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Thank you very much to Chad Easterday, Joe Reed, Trevor Higgins, Pat Bowman, and Paul Watson for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. You can always check the website, WSMIRadio.com. You can get the podcasts of our broadcast as well as live streams and the broadcast schedule at WSMIRadio.com. For Jennifer Graham, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done.